Good evening. Good to see you. I think I'll go ahead and leave the pulpit here and I can look this direction because Brad is back there. I am refusing to surrender to... Now this is on the right, but y'all are on your left. And you know what the Bible says about the left. We'll talk about that later in some other... Something to the tune of. I gotta tell you something that happened this morning. I told you, I think it was Wednesday night, I told you that the Lord had laid the message this morning on my heart several weeks ago. And I had a real desire to just, you know, preach that not only for the people that are here, but then for those that might download the message later on. Sometimes we can get, you know, wind up really getting a good response to that. And so you want to be a blessing. So I'm thinking, Lord, you know, just, I was praying, Lord, just help. I pray just by your grace, just give help. And so this morning, while I was preaching, for some reason, I don't know why, I thought it was the opposite. I reached down while I was preaching, and I turned this remote microphone off. I muted it and just kept on preaching. And then I walked down here on the floor, and nobody could hear me. Well, I got a little upset with myself. And it's like, Lord, I can't believe I did that. You know, I so bad wanted, you know, to see that message, you know, posted. And the Lord said, my work is going to get done today. You know, your message wasn't, you know, do or die kind of a thing. Everything's going to be fine. And boy, you talk about getting a lesson learned. You know, I can preach what, you know, and I know God laid it on my heart, but it was like, I laid it on your heart, but I don't need it to get my work done today. I've got other people preaching. Why don't you look to see what I'm trying to teach you with that message? So, you know, praise God. But anyway, good to see you. By the way, we have, there's a church that's losing a family. They're moving back east. Brother Blankenship over at, Bible Fellowship. We need to be praying for them. They've got a couple of other challenges as well. The Granbys are over there tonight. Years ago, they used to go to that church. But, you know, just tough situation. And, it seems like, you know, about everywhere you turn, you know, it's just people are having challenges in their Christian walk. Local churches are having challenges. You know, doesn't it just want, you just want to stay faithful. Amen. You know, you really do. I remember when I told you that when I was in the hospital after the surgery, it's like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Well, then a week and a half ago in the emergency room and I'm praying the same thing. Lord, I'm here. My car is destroyed. My wife is hurting like crazy. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? The Lord seems to be trying to teach me a whole lot. I'm beginning to really wonder about that. It's my last chance. I tell you what. So, you know, I just rejoice that he takes the time to do it. I really do. And you know, there's same thing, you know, with the church that we're going to be looking at tonight. But I so thank you for your faithfulness. You know, I still, there's times I go back to this saying that I remember, and I don't know where I got it. It's not original with me. But I remember my first youth group. I taught them this. I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. So what I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. And you know, we don't know where God's going to put us, but I do know this. As somebody else has said before, there's only one thing to do about anything, and that is the right thing. And I have looked back, and it hurts, and I'm sure maybe some of you have done this same thing, where I've looked back, and I think, Lord, I missed an opportunity here. And that hurts, because it was a choice that was made. That's one thing I'm seeing with these churches as we have looked at these. Peter, am I on? Oh, praise God. At least I got that. If I go down and I start to turn this, somebody stop me. Yell, you know, do the big timeout, whatever. But there's one thing. It's, you know, you're looking at these churches and people are making a choice. You know, that can really be something to understand and learn. We never know when there might be a choice that really speaks volumes when it comes to the direction we're going to wind up going in our lives. So here we are. We're a local fellowship, but we're also individuals. There's other Christians like that around the nation, in our state, in Sacramento right now. We do not know what is coming ahead. But you know, the choices that we're going to be making as we look into the Scripture are important right now. So I'd like for you to take your Bibles, go to Revelation chapter 2. Going to be going to an interesting church tonight. It's the smallest church that Christ addressed, but it wound up getting the biggest letter, the longest letter. And it was an interesting, fascinating thing in that there's not much known about the origins of this church, but there is definitely something here that every individual and every local church has got to stop and say, okay, I've got to learn here. The world is wooing. And there are those that are crashing and burning because what is more important to them is something other than what we believe. So I'll show it to you. Let's pray and we'll get in. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless tonight. Lord, I pray that once again your word would be opened up to us. We are not dependent on man. We are dependent on your Holy Spirit. We desire by your grace to do this right. Teach us, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. So, take your Bibles, Revelation chapter 2, go down to verse 18. We're going to be going to the church at Thyatira. Let's go ahead and read this just to get what Christ said, and then we'll take it bit by bit. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 18. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works," speaks it again, "and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all her churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which hath not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I can't get over this, that we hear so often, he that hath an ear, let him hear. It's like he's saying, are you listening? He that hath an ear, let him hear. We're getting warnings. We're getting direction. Now, what we're going to be looking at somewhat tonight is a church that is being wooed by the world from within. Fascinating to study these things, and you recognize, just like we've seen here in Thyatira, that with these local churches in this area, with these local churches, there very much seems to be a mixture. There are people, just like when Israel was traveling, there were those that were not true Israelites that tagged along. There are people that come along in local churches. They wind up coming because they like the culture, but they don't really embrace the Christ. Or we have a situation where they have come in because they're like a Diotrephes. They love the preeminence. They want to come in. They want to bear rule. They're looking at a situation where they can take charge. We also have a situation like that right here with Thyatira. What we have for us to see is something that is going to be constantly taking place till the Lord takes us home as a local church and as individuals. There are people that are doing this. They might be on Christian radio. By the way, understand something. A lot that's on Christian radio isn't Christian. Be it the music, be it the teaching, whatever. Please be careful who you listen to. Please be careful. There are some people that you might think, wow, they sound good. Okay. There might be some things there, but please watch out. And I'm not going to mention any names tonight. I don't want to get off on this. I don't want you while we're going through this, you sit there thinking, why did he say that about that person? Now there are some you go, oh yeah. But anyway, let's get into this. First of all, the city when it comes to itself, the city of Thyatira. The city of Thyatira was not that big. Here's the problem that Thyatira had. The name Thyatira means continual sacrifice. That's kind of sort of what they did. There were people that desired to attack Pergamos. Problem. In order to attack Pergamos, you had to go through Thyatira. Guess what happened to Thyatira? A whole lot. It got destroyed, they rebuilt it. It got destroyed, they rebuilt it. Not a whole lot of fun. But they were there, little city. They're going to stay there. They're determined to continue. There was a trade route that came through. And so here they are. They got good business. They're about 40 miles southeast of Pergamos. There's their industries that they have. They were known for their woolen industry. especially for the dyes that were produced there. They manufactured, and I'm not going to go into the detail of it, don't want to take the time, but they had a special dye that was only done there. It was valued by royalty, by the wealthy, and in fact, because it could only be done there, some people did well, including a lady in Acts 16. Her name was Lydia, and she was a seller of purple. She was involved in this. They also had something else that they did. Now, there were several things that they did here. There were the bronze workers. They did woodwork. There were potters, et cetera, et cetera. And they put unions together. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been a member of a union. Roger, I know you have. How many of you, you've been a member union a couple of times? Okay, all right. I was in the laborers union. I was in aerospace. I was not an astronaut. I fueled aircraft for Lockheed. But anyway, I was in that. Not always my favorite thing to do. One thing that bothers me is the headquarters. The headquarters of the laborers union, and here I was the operator of the crew, but the headquarters of the labor, I was in the laborers union, the headquarters of the laborers union is here in Sacramento. Over there, in their coffers, sits $10,000 that has my name on it, and I can't touch it because I left the union. So they're going to spend my money. I hope they have a good time. But anyway, they used to have They had these unions that came together, the trade guilds is what they called. But here's the thing. In order to get work, you had to belong to one of these guilds. To refuse to join one means you don't work. And that's important in just a little bit. There was also an occult worship there in Thyatira, specific for it. There was a temple that was dedicated to fortune telling. Just painting a picture so we can see what our brethren went through. It was presided over by a female oracle. Her name was Sambathe. It's possible that this church was planted by, in one of two ways, either by people from Ephesus, the Christians in Ephesus that came over, or by Lydia. One thing is for sure, if it was a woman that helped found the church, it's a woman that's helping to destroy the church. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this lady. But we're going to learn a little bit about the direction that she is taking it. Go to verse 18. Once again, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I can understand this, that if the Lord paints the picture of himself as he's looking to different churches, there's a reason why he's saying what he says. And I can imagine that Thyatira is thinking, boy, my God is an incredible God. He is nobody to be trifled with. This church, if you boil the fat out of it, this church and its reputation and the direction it's going, it boils down to one word, compromise. And we're not talking about simple compromise here and there. It's something that we need to take note of. In this day and age, my wife and I were, again, just not too long ago, we were in Minnesota, where she grew up. We're in the area there in Eagan, and we drove by a Lutheran church. And there was a sign on the Lutheran church, and it had a rainbow flag, or it had a rainbow painted in this, on this particular sign, and it said, we are an affirming church. You know what an affirming church is? What it's saying is if you are gay, lesbian, etc., LGBTQ, we will accept you as you are, and we will not tell you that you're in sin. That's what an affirming church is. There's a guy that was once a dear friend of mine, He was a pastor. I remember seeing something that he put on Facebook, writing it to somebody else, that the church that he was going to, there where he's at, where he lives, oh yeah, come to mine. It's an affirming church. That's sad. That's also wicked. Now, by us just saying that, there are going to be people more and more that are not going to be happy with our local church. It's going to be happening to churches all over the area. In fact, it's already happening, especially in Canada when it comes to North America. But that's the way things are. Because the world is wooing, and if the wooing doesn't do it, the threats, they hope, will. And that's the challenge. Now, when it comes to the church at Thyatira, look at verse 19. Praise God, first, He commends them. I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, once again, and thy works. Their works were better and more than the first. In other words, they were progressing, they were growing, they were doing good. He says, thy works and thy charity, we talked about that word a little bit this morning, and thy service, by the way, the same word that translates deacon throughout the New Testament, that's where that word service comes from. Roger, you look up a little bit deeper on this. I've never gone this far deep in it. That word has the idea, quote, those that kick up dust. Those that kick up dust. Brother, I'll let you take that from there. I'm not going to add. Okay, yeah, there we go. All right. But then again, we look at like this, and we're going to see this a little bit later on. We look at a list like this, and the first thing you can think of, or one of the first things you think of, is what were their motives? You know, everybody has a motive when they walk into a local fellowship. Everybody has a motive. You know, praise God, you desire those that they want to learn. We want to learn from God's Word. But then others, they won't. There's a couple of churches back east that it's been a heartbreak with some things that have been going on. Folks, listen. We don't want to deal with a situation where somebody is a Diotrephes. Somebody is into the I love me mode. I want my way. By the way, including the pastor. And say amen. You know, the first message that Harvey Seidel preached when I got here, it was the second Sunday I was here. And he got up in the pulpit and he said, Pastor, you don't always have to have your way. And the people said amen. By the way, I did too. You know? Now, I pray that we never have to go through the deal about the color of the carpet. Yeah, that's crazy. But, you know, we ought to be able to have a unity. Amen. We ought to be able to have a unity. People walk in. They have a ministry, but they have a motive. Now, some apparently here, they're motivated by love. These people were motivated by love. They're motivated by their faith. You think about Paul, what he said, for the love of Christ constraineth me. This is the reason why I do this, is what he's saying. Let me ask you something. When it comes to your desire to do something for the Lord, what motivates you? Because you think you're smarter than everybody else? Because you think you can do it better? I've had situations here in time past where I didn't let somebody do something. Instead, I wanted to do it because I thought I can do a better job than they can. That's called stupid. That's called not using your brain. Because people got to grow, right? People got to grow. People need to be given the opportunity to grow. So there's motives that are listed here, the love, the faith, and because of that, their maturity. They got to be better and better and better. Somebody made a list like this. We should see that everything we do is motivated either by edifying the saints, evangelizing the sinner, and or exalting the Savior. We need to be thinking about this. Why am I doing what I'm doing? So he commends them, but then he confronts them. The church was looking good from the outside, but God looks on the heart. He confronted the teacher of this church. Here's a woman. We don't know a whole lot about her, but she was called Jezebel. Now, there's a little bit of background here. I believe that this harkens back as far as the character, the motives, whatever, by the woman Jezebel from the Old Testament. Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, very wicked. She was the daughter of a Gentile king. She was a devoted worshiper of Baal. Now, we might think we don't have a problem like this. I pray that we do not. But the truth is, in churches in general across America, there are situations where even though they might look good on the outside, the fact of the matter is on the inside, what is driving them is a worship not of the God of heaven, but another God. Another God. Baal was a wicked fertility god. Very wicked, very immoral. They had priests that were there at places of worship that were no more than temple prostitutes. She did her best to kill every true man of God in Israel, including Elijah, 1 Kings 19. This was her sin. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, remember the trade guild that I mentioned before, the trade guilds? Here's what would take place. These guilds would often have meetings. In the pagan temples, they were there. They would wind up having drunkenness, there was immorality, there was drug abuse, there was all kinds of stuff. Either at the beginning or at the end, they would have a meal. They would take the animal, maybe sometimes all they would do, sacrificing it to the god, they would just clip a little bit of hair off. But then they would slay the sacrifice and divide the meal, the meat, between the pagan priest and then the people that were there to partake, that were there for the meeting, these people in the guilds. This is what they would do. The problem is, there were people that were saved now that were working. And in the working, they had to make a choice. If you remember, in Acts 15, there was direction that the apostles gave new Gentile Christians. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. They got to stay away from it. From which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Now we heard about a man this morning. He decided he wasn't going to keep himself away from certain things. His name was called Lot. These people, they had a desire to do what was right. Now if you read what the Apostle Paul says elsewhere, like 1 Corinthians 14, we're not going to go there. There was discussion when it came to eating things offered to idols. For the mature Christians, Paul said, listen, we know that an idol is nothing. But when it comes to making some of these people stumble, he says, for me personally, I'll be a vegetarian until the day I die. Won't touch meat. And this is the attitude that these Christians needed to hear from mature Christians. Right now, they're saying, you know what, we can't do this. And they were right. They were right. The teaching at Thyatira quite possibly got to be this, that this woman, or whoever she was, and her minions, they started teaching that, you know what, it's okay to eat the meat. It's okay to compromise. It's all right. It's okay to bring into the church what the world has a passion for. Now, has that been taking place? It's been taking place forever, since the local church was founded. And this is why we've got to stop and say, okay, now, maybe there's something here that when it comes to Thyatira, it was on a large scale. But what could take place in our local church? Let me tell you one thing that I've wound up having to deal with since I came here. The idea of the world's music. We want something. We want music that glorifies God. But the problem is the idea of some, you know, that say, well, this glorifies God. Wait a minute. If it glorifies God, why is the flesh being used so much? If it glorifies God, why does it sound like somebody that hated our God? And it's been a difficult situation. But it has been a good fight to fight. And it's not just music. It's associations. We are an independent Baptist church. I have friends, they're Southern Baptists. But I wouldn't be in the Southern Baptist movement to beat the band. I'm sorry. When they have situations that are going on like that, there was separation that was going on 50 years ago. When it came to other denominations, it was the same thing 100 years ago. Have you ever studied about Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon? You know, we read his messages, but there was something that came along called the downgrade controversy. He was trying to keep the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God pure. He wanted it kept strong, just like this woman Jezebel did not. They actually had 7,000 men in the Baptist Union there in England. 7,000 men. I think it was 7,000. No, maybe it was 2,000. I might be getting my numbers wrong. Let's say 2,000. But I do remember these others. They got together to decide whether or not they were going to vote Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, out of the Baptist Union. He had already been preaching on this. He had already been exposing the wicked doctrine that was being pressed there. One day he met with a friend and he said, as he was going to France to go and try and recuperate, I think he was 58 years old at the time. I think he died when he was 58. He told this friend, you'll never see me again. This thing is killing me. That meeting, they voted to remove Spurgeon, including his own brother. They voted him out of the Baptist Union. Only 7 men stood with him. When they took the vote, they all stood up and applauded. Question. What direction do you think England went after that compromise? You see, this is not popular. But again, this is why we're an independent Baptist church. And sad to say, there are other groups, you know, Islam came along and they made the word fundamentalist sound bad, and so people kind of get embarrassed about that. What is a fundamentalist? You believe in the fundamentals of the faith. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Without error. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. You rotten fundamentalists. You scoundrels. Or like this t-shirt online that I saw with a picture of Washington crossing the Delaware, and it said, "Rebel scum." I got to get that shirt. That's great. You know, that's great. But the point is this. The point is this. There was this kind of draw that was taking place in Thyatira. She was trying to seduce. The word seduce there means to lead out of the right path. Interesting here, a little bit digging on the Greek word that translates fornication. Comes from the word porneia. We get the word pornography from that. It literally means to prostitute one's body to the lusts of another. To prostitute one's body to the lust of another. So here was the local church being seduced by the passions of somebody else that didn't have a love for God. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See, these are things that we need to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. The Bible seeks to teach us, make it clear. Listen, there are some things that you leave behind. There are some things that you leave behind. There are also some things that you hold to. And somewhat such were some of you, but ye are washed. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So there's the detail in 1 Corinthians 6. Then we've got 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the church at Thyatira is being challenged. They've got a problem here. Because it's obvious they have people in the church that are not truly born again. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Here you've got somebody that's teaching wretched stuff. It's okay to bring these things together. No, it's not. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, somebody is a liar. Somebody in that church in Thyatira is a liar. Either what the word of, either what the God of the word has been telling them, or this person, Jezebel, and her minions. Listen, we have liberty as Christians, but we don't have liberty to sin. We don't have liberty to call the shots when it comes to dealing, taking this and embracing. And by the way, have you noticed that you get little snippets here and there? The One World Church is coming together. Rome is busy with Islam. Now we've got this thing called Chrislam, you know, coming together. And it's so much more. Boy, go back to verse 21. Revelation 2, verse 21. See, so he says, all right, I'm denouncing you for this. He says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Interesting. Whoever this woman is, and her followers, in these churches, he says, you know what? I've had my people preaching. It's obvious. I don't know who else has come in to preach, etc. It could be that there has been influence from, say, the church at Ephesus. But he said, I gave you space. I gave her space to repent. She knows it's wrong. And the church, but knows it's wrong. Boy, when doctrinal impurity gets that much into a Christian organization or a local church, there's going to be a real problem. At the very least, you've got a split coming. At more than that, you're going to have some lives that are destroyed. And that is bad. She repented not. Somebody made an interesting point here. The Ephesian church was weakening in its love, yet it was faithful to judge false teachers. We've already seen that church. Here, when it comes to Thyatira, they were growing in their love, but they were too tolerant when it came to the doctrine. And listen, Roger can take, some of you might even know about some of these things. It's so sad to see, for instance, Christian colleges. They allowed certain people to come in and teach and even preach issues in there and just kind of spread the leaven. And next thing you know, that Bible college is non-existent. It's not there. Brother, you know what I'm talking about. It just, you know, it's died. I think of a few Bible colleges right now that used to stand so strong. A couple of them don't exist anymore. Others, they're just not, absolutely not what they used to be. False doctrine seeks to get in everywhere. Sometimes what it'll do first, it will use, for instance, like wrong music to get into the church. But then you've got doctrine that'll come in right behind it. Not only were there people in the church at Thyatira that were tolerant of evil, but they were proud. They were unwilling. No, we're not going to have somebody else tell us different. That is wrong. So the Lord says, all right, this is what we're doing. Look at verse 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Here are people that are going to really suffer. They're not going to be in glory. They're going to wind up suffering with the unsaved because that's who they are. In the tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, they need to hear the gospel that they have been taking and just kind of weakening, taking apart, belittling. You know, we've got to be, how many of you recognize, you know this? You recognize words mean things, right? You know, we've got to be careful when we share the gospel. There are phrases, for instance, that have been used at times in sharing the gospel and encouraging people to get saved that really, they ought not be. Nobody gets saved by asking Jesus into their heart. People get saved by trust. There has to be the element of trust where somebody recognizes they are trusting what Christ did for them on the cross, rising again because they're sinners. Now, some people say, well, I explain all that, and then the asking Jesus into your heart is basically what you're saying from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come into him. I understand that. But do you understand, you know, that we have to be careful? People need to make sure that they're understanding this is what true salvation is. I use him so much for an illustration, but it really is true because he's gotten into this. He's dug deep into this. But Jim Benny was telling about a pastor that he dealt with for 2 years. The man had an earned doctorate in the theology and could never get certainty when it came to his salvation. And so he asked him, how does a person get saved? And that man with the earned doctorate said, ask Jesus into your heart. He says, wait a minute. I'm coming to you. I want to be saved. Explain to me what I must do. And the fellow replied, ask Jesus into your heart. You see what I mean? You know, where is it? Where is it? When the Apostle Paul led the Philippian jailer to the Lord, this man came to them and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In order for that salvation to take place, the belief has to have the details of what it means to believe in Jesus. That's where we have to be careful. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. Now this is important. Searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. The children, I believe what he's trying to say here is this. And he says, and I will kill her children with death. These are the people, these are those that they don't follow biblical salvation. He says, they're going to die without me. They're going to go the way of the ungodly. They will suffer. This is the direction that this lady, whoever she is, has been trying to take people in that church. And so what we have in the place of Thyatira are several churches that are literally playing out what we have seen with large numbers of churches on a national scale, where there are those that wound up going in a direction so that there is no gospel that is preached. The United Methodists. You know, I don't know how many other churches, you know, American Baptist, you go in there, they're not preaching the gospel. They're not. But then there are those, they're staying by the stuff and preaching the word and letting the Bible interpret itself and saying, thus saith the Lord. Jesus comes along and says, I'm checking out everybody. Look at the last phrase. I'm he which searcheth the reins and hearts. This is the God, this is the Lord that walks even at Faith Baptist. You know, you stop and consider it. Our God knows every heart here. And I'm sure I'm talking to people that feel the same way. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven and discover something that was in my heart that if I would have allowed God to make the adjustments and teach me now, that I could have seen the fruit of God in that place right then. There's still pride in my heart. There's still stubbornness. There's still apathy. Anybody else got that? It's there. And I'm telling you, if we say we're Bible-believing Christians, if we say that and we mean it, then our attitude is going to be this. It's not going to be long, and I'm standing before Him. I need to be taking what He says seriously here, now. And not wait until I stand before Him and say, well, you know, Lord, I gave it my best shot. There needs to be a looking into everybody, a looking into heart. Listen. Don't ever fall onto the crutch of this. Well, this is just the way I am. That's sin. This is just, you know, I know this. Folks, the only thing I know that is really true and right is in this book right here. That's the only thing you know too. That's the only thing you know too. This is how we need to do, because He's going to judge us according to our works. I can see it now. People go, well, you know, preacher, the Lord put you in the hospital. You had open heart surgery, and then you and your wife were in an accident. Don't you think, ha ha, wink, wink, the Lord is trying to teach you something? Yes. I don't know what it is, but I tell you what, He's got my ear. I'm listening. By the way, does He have your ear too? Because he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. He commended these people. He confronted these people. And I'm kind of cutting ahead a little bit. But now, He's going to comfort them. Look at verse 24. We'll be done here in just a few minutes. But unto you I say, he's speaking directly to those that are in the church that truly know Him. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira. He wants those that are there in the church that are not truly born again. He wants their attention too, but He says, unto you, I'm saying this, as many as have not this doctrine, and which not known the depths of Satan. What this woman was doing was of the wicked one. As they speak, I will put none other burden upon you, none other burden, but that which ye already hold, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. You've got your Bible. You're reading. You know, I finished the Revelation yesterday. I still get chills every time I read Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'll tell you this. My heart's desire is this. Lord, I want to see that reality more and more as best by your grace I can. Because every person that we see has an eternal destiny. I despise buying a car. Have you ever dealt with a used car salesman? More used car salesmen are possessed by the wicked one than a lot of politicians. They'll smile at you, and they'll lie, and that, you know, and this. So here we are, and we're over at CarMax, and there we've got a woman car salesman. Hey boy, gave her the gospel. Praise God, she's a Christian. In fact, she said just before you came in, she says, I was praying and saying, Lord, is there somebody that I can be a blessing to today? And then we showed up. That was great. That was excellent. And then she went on to lie to us about the car. She didn't know. She was just trying to make it sound good. You know what I mean. Because they're always the best. I mean, this has got this and that and the other thing. And now we got to take that thing back to CarMax tomorrow because it's got a rattle in it. The point is this. We need to hold fast. We need to hold fast to that which is true doctrine. The Bible says there's only two places that people go, heaven or hell. Let nobody else ever tell us anything otherwise. The Bible is the Word of God. Let nobody else tell us anything otherwise. I don't care how smooth they talk on the radio. I don't care how nice of a podcast they have on the internet. I'm not the only Bible teacher in the world. I know that. But you are my responsibility, and I hate the thought of you ever getting on the radio, you ever getting on the internet, and listening to somebody that's going to draw you away. I had that happen when I was a youth pastor. And it drives me crazy. There are young people that I taught and I loved that live within an hour of this place where I taught in other places in California, and they're gone. They don't darken a church door. That angers me. Satan is out there. Hold fast. This is their duty. He's saying this is what your duty is. Now I want to tell you about your destiny. Look at verse 26. And he that overcometh. Remember, who is he that overcometh? The believer that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Keepeth my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations. There's coming a day. He's saying, you know what? Right now, it's hard. But let me tell you what your future is. Look at verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. You're a godly person now. The world hates you. But there's going to come a time when you will rule with him. Praise God. It's worth staying faithful. And then he says, and I will give him the morning star. Not sure. There are people that debate exactly who is that. I personally believe Christ says, you've got me. He's the bright and morning star. We have all when we have Christ. And he says, that's what. So you know something? Satan would love nothing better than to come into this fellowship and start whispering in your ear. Oh, there's things that we can disagree with, like we've talked about before. You know, we have different ideas when it comes to, you know, when Christ is coming. But if anybody walks in here and says, you know what? Christ isn't coming. That doesn't fly here. That doesn't fly. If somebody comes in here and says, well, you know something? You know, there's more than one way to heaven. That really ain't going to fly. That will not happen at all. There's so many things I could mention here. But the point is, we've got to be vigilant. This is a time for vigilance. It's not just what we believe, the statement that we make as a local church, but it's also what we are settling on and what we believe in the heart. What am I believing about my life? What am I believing about the influence and the direction that Christ is seeking for me to live. Folks, listen, there's going to come a time when we're all in heaven. At least I hope and pray that we're all there. That we're all in heaven. Isn't it worth it to do it right now so that we can rejoice then? Say, praise God. Wasn't God good? He helped us here and here and here. There were tough ways to go, but He made it worth it. Always, Christ was more than enough. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, You'd bless these folks. Thank You so much for them. I love them. Lord, don't deserve to be standing here. I'm so glad that they come. I'm so glad that they have a desire for You. Lord, I pray that You would help us to have right motives. Lord, we can't live according to our dictates. We need to live according to right doctrine, teaching. What saith the Scripture? Help us to do just that. I pray that You'd guide us this week. Lord, I pray for anyone that would have challenges. Well, again, where the world is wooing, there were some people that were not here this morning. Lord, it makes me wonder how they're doing. Lord, I pray as we go out to reach out to them and just see how they're doing, that we would be an encouragement to each other. I could pray that You would continue to be with Jerry Babcock. Lord, strengthen her. We don't know what the future is there. We sure love her. Oh, it was great. Always got a hug. What a wonderful child of God. Lord, I pray that You'd continue to raise up, heal those that are hurting, encourage those that are discouraged. We desire to be a local fellowship that has a passion for the calling that is in Christ Jesus. And we pray this in His name. Amen.